shared with us, but I feel that's the word of God that gave me to go through. And we'll begin in verse 1 where it says, "But I say, Jesus, my Lord, he is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lay down in green pastures. He leads me. Jesus leads me by still waters. He restores my soul. He makes me walk in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, that my life may glorify him whose name is Jesus. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for he is with me. No matter what happens, he is there and he is with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. He prepares a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. He anoints my head with oil. My cup flows over in Jesus' name. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Therefore I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever in Jesus' name." When that psalm begins, you know, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these good things will follow you." There will be no want for all of us. We can lay down in green pastures where there is plenty. God has supplied all of our needs. There is nothing missing. There is peace. There is praises and thanksgiving to him who has supplied. He makes me walk by still waters. The peace of God, which is so wonderful. When Jesus left, he said to his disciples, "Not as the world give, do I give you. I give you my peace." And when the peace, not only peace with God, but God's peace settled down in our hearts. And most of us know what that means. I had a dream one night, and all of a sudden I dreamt about God's peace. You know, it was so wonderful, I said to my, "Don't wake me up, I want to be here." It was too good. Because God goes with us all the time when we belong to him. He restores our soul. He makes it new every day, all the time. He renews us over and over again. And he makes us walk in that path of righteousness so we can glorify his name. And there are times when all things seem to work out so good. It's nothing but blessing upon blessing. But there are also times that we have to come down from that mountain. God doesn't take the blessing away from us. It follows us. But when we begin, as we have too many times, there are difficulties in life that we have to go through. And when we come to the shadow or the valley of death, he is with us. But it doesn't mean that we can just go through it like nothing. It can be very, very difficult. And the enemy knows that when we are in that place, many times our feelings will end up in the basement. Those that were just on top, everything was so good. I can't go by my feelings because they can change. Circumstances all of a sudden make them drop. And the enemy knows that my feeling is down there right now. I'm being tested by God and it's not easy. And he tries all he can to have us to feel that we have failed. We are under condemnation. He is a liar, but he will attempt to get us to that place. But Paul in the Bible says this, "Not that I have comprehended, I haven't arrived yet. But this thing I do, I forget the things that are behind and reach out to those things that are ahead. I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus' name." And that is what we will do. We'll just put the things that happened in our past life before we met Jesus, before we became a new creation, before we became a child of God, born anew, not by the night of blood, nor by the will of the flesh, nor by the will of men, a man, but by the will of God. All the past, all of our failures, they are gone. They are cast into the sea of forgetfulness. God will never again pull them up and say, look at you, this is what you did, this is what you said. No, I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. All things have become new. I'm qualified to be in his presence under the blood of Jesus, continually cleansed. That blood has forgiven all our past sins. That blood has forgiven, cleansed us from all present sins, because we do fail sometimes. We do even, as long as we are in this body, there will be failures and sin that happens. But when we come to him in repentance and confession, the blood covers it all. And future sins, all of that is taken care of in Jesus' name. And we don't remind in the valley of the shadow of death, I'm going through. And I come to the place where God prepares a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. And he anoints our head with oil, with the Holy Spirit. Our cup flows over. The blessing is so mighty and so powerful. And this is what is needed today. Not to just be filled. And, you know, this is mine. I put the lid on. Now I've been blessed. No, the overflow is what's going to make the difference. And when we sit down at his table and take in what he has provided for us, and we know that he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things, all that heaven can afford is being given to each one of us who will receive it. I'll just tell you a little story that really spoke to me one time. It's a few years ago now. We had a family reunion over in Norway, and there was about 11 of us here that decided to go over and join them. So we went from Victoria to Vancouver, and then it's going to be Vancouver, Amsterdam, and Stavanger, Norway after that. But anyway, we came to Vancouver about 5 o'clock, something like that. I can't remember exactly, but anyways, but it was something that happened to the airline or the aircraft, so we couldn't go right away. We had to sit there and wait. I think it was about midnight before finally we could go and come to Amsterdam. All connections are broken. We couldn't fly on from there, you know. So we spent the night in Amsterdam. The airline put us up in a first-class hotel, all paid for, didn't cost us a cent. And in the morning, as I went down to have breakfast, I found two of my nephews standing outside the restaurant door. They had found a coffee maker. I can't remember if it was the cookies there or not, but anyways. So I said to them, what are you doing outside here? Let's go in. The airline has provided all this for us. It's not going to cost us a cent. So we went into the restaurant, and let me tell you, if you want to have a continental breakfast, you go to Amsterdam. Everything was there that you could think of. Now, what it told me, or what it spoke to me, was this. There are many Christians who come inside into the lobby. I'm not questioning your salvation, no. But that's where they stop. God has prepared a table for us with all the blessings that heaven can afford, all of it, for you and me. But for some reason, they think, now I got a ticket to go to heaven if something happens, and that's all I need. No, that is not all you need. Come in. Come to the table. Come and be filled. Come to the place where the overflowing goes out into the community. Where that overflow of the Spirit of God touches our people that we have been praying for. And they will come because the power of God will work so mightily. It was at the day of Pentecost when the disciples were gathered in the upper room waiting for the Holy Spirit, the power of the baptism. Because Jesus said to them, don't leave Jerusalem until you have received power from on high. then go into Jerusalem, to Judea, Samaria, and throughout all the world, filled with the power of God. And Peter, who had just a few weeks earlier denied that he knew Jesus, he stood up with boldness and he proclaimed the gospel to the people with such power and such glory that people were convicted of sin and called out, "What can I do to be saved?" That's what happens when we are filled with His Holy Spirit. We can't do it in ourselves. But when we get into that place of an overflow of the Spirit of God that goes into our community, then the gospel is being proclaimed unto salvation. People will see it and know it and come. Oh, that there will be such a hunger within us as we sit at His table and take in all that God has for us. We live in a time today, I would say, that we have never ever seen anything like it. And we cannot afford to continue with just a little taste of what God has for us. We need all the power that God has given us, all of the Holy Spirit in our lives. For He has provided. Today we can walk in to Him, into the Holy of Holies. At one time that was forbidden for all except the high priest. He could go in once a year. But now, under the blood of Jesus, He's saying, come in boldness under the blood of Jesus and enter the holiest through a new and living way which He consecrated for us. Through the way, that is His flesh. Because when Jesus called out on the cross, it is finished. The curtain in the temple, that which divided so no one but the high priest could come, it split down the middle. And Jesus, the high priest, said, come in. Come in my righteousness. Come in under His blood. Come into my presence and live in my presence. Therefore, let us enter with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled, the Bible says, from an evil conscience. Having our hearts washed by His blood. Having our bodies washed in pure waters by the living word of God for each day as we walk along. Hold fast to the confession of your hope without wavering. For He who promised is faithful. God cannot fail. Therefore come and encourage one another. Consider one another. And lift each other up and encourage to love and good works. And don't forsake the assembling of yourselves, as some do, but all the more as we see the day approaching. Let us live with the power of God in our lives. Let it be a daily, continuous intake of what God has for us. For then we can, in Him, we can be successful. In ourselves, it doesn't matter what we do, we'll fail. Will come out sure. But God is with us. And if you feel you have failed, go to Him. Confess your faults. And He, there's no limit to God's forgiveness. He will always, and in Isaiah He says, it was for my own peace that I went through great bitterness. But He has so lovingly delivered my soul. And He has cast all my sins behind His back. They are all forget in the sight of God. For He has not dealt with us according to our sins. Nor has He punished on us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heaven is above the earth, so great is His mercy to all of us who will come. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. They are gone. We live in a new creation. everyone have sinned and come short of God's glory. Because that came in as soon as Adam and Eve disobeyed God and believed the lie of the enemy, the devil, ate of the forbidden fruit. That sin has contaminated the lives of everyone who has lived, everyone who lives, and everyone who will live. And there is only one remedy to be cleansed and be set free from this. And that is the blood of Jesus. For his blood had no connection to Adam and Eve. His blood was pure, holy. Jesus never committed a sin. There was never a time when Jesus had to go to somebody and say, you know, I'm sorry what I said. No. Everything he did, everything he taught, everything was perfection. Nothing less than absolutely perfect. And every battle that Jesus came up, and he had his battles, but he won. He triumphed over the enemy in it. There was no way that any power in the universe could stop our Jesus. For the Bible says that he disarmed principalities and powers. He made a public spectacle out of them. He triumphed over them in it. And I believe that God will for you and me to live a triumphant life over sin. That he has given the power for us to succeed. So even if we do fail, which we will as long as we are in this body. But there is one who is always there to forgive and put it behind us. And if you have not yet gone to come to that point that you have given your life and received Jesus into your life. Because if you will receive him, you will become a child of God. If you believe in his name, you will be born again, not by blood, nor the will of men or man, nor the will of the flesh, but by the will of God in Jesus' name. For God is saying to us this day, seek him while he might be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, for he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. There is no sin that cannot be forgiven. There is no one who has sunk so deep into sin and hopelessness that God in Jesus by the Holy Spirit cannot lift them up and give them new life. Let us not forget that the first man to be saved hang on the cross together with Jesus. Jesus was in the center, one on his right hand, one on his left. And the one turned to the one on the right and he said, you know, we are guilty. We have done what we have been accused of. But this man, he looked at Jesus, he has done nothing wrong. He is holy. He is perfect. And then he said to Jesus, remember me when you come into paradise. He didn't pray a sinner's prayer. He just said those few words and Jesus said to him, because Jesus saw his heart. There was repentance. There was a turnabout. He admitted that he was a sinner. So Jesus said, this day you will be with me in paradise. Oh, might it be that so many will come to see this. God is calling. For God so loved each one of us that he gave his most precious gift that he could give. He gave his only son that if you and me and each one of us will believe in him, we will receive everlasting life. We will never perish. For God did not send his son to the world to condemn us, but that we should be saved through him. And that door unto salvation is open today. When God calls, say, yes, I will come, because he will give you life. He will take all of that which is past, and it's gone into the sea of forgetfulness. For this we have to praise him and thank him. For the biggest gift I can think of that God has ever given to me and to all of you who belong to him is to know that he put your life, my life, our lives into the book of life. I can just see him taking the pen, dipping in the blood of Jesus, signing my name in. It's in the book. Praise God for your Savior, ready to meet him. No matter what happens to us, no matter what this world will bring, it will make no difference. Nobody can take the love of God and the life that he has given us away from us. Who is going to lay a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us right now. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? For as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, in all of this, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor anything present, nor anything to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to take us away from the love of God in Christ Jesus. We are secure in the hands of God. Regardless, sometimes you might feel that, I've failed, I haven't been where I should be. No. Your life is absolutely secure. Your salvation, no one. I can walk away from it, but no one can take that away from us. Nobody. Because we belong to him. We have given our lives to Jesus. He has accepted us. There's a time of glory waiting for all of us who belong to him. And we shall be with him. We shall worship him. We shall praise him throughout all eternity. We shall see him who said, even though we begin to feel that that he had left us. But in the book of Isaiah, it says, Zion said, my Lord has forgotten me. My Lord has forsaken me. But God answers back and says, with a question, can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, but I will never forget you. In the palms of my hands I have inscribed you. Your walls are continually before me. Yes, we are safe and secure in the hands of Almighty God. And one day we shall see him as he is. Look up and rejoice, for your redemption is very, very near, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you like to say a prayer?
Yeah, I could.
You've got.
Oh, yeah. Yes, God, we come to you at this time. And we come in the name of Jesus. We know that God, the Holy Spirit, is walking back and forth among our benches. And we know, God, there's not a need that you cannot fill. There's not a situation where God will not answer our prayers. Therefore, we ask in that name that's above all names, in Jesus' name, as we have been praying, as Stephen also mentioned, we have been praying for those, for many of our prodigals that are still out there. God, we want to see them coming home. We are calling on God in Jesus' name. That overflow that you have given to us, will touch their lives and set them free. And they will come back in Jesus' name. And they'll come and they will rejoice when they know that they've been born again, they've become a new creation in Christ Jesus. And families will be restored. And God will move among us. He will again revive us. This house will be filled with people seeking, coming to know the living God. And we pray, God, for all of your congregations, regardless of where they meet, that God's Holy Spirit will move in such a powerful way that we will see and come to know the miracles of salvation, of healing, of deliverance, of all that God is giving us. So when we leave this house today, go and be blessed and be prepared and know that you walk with him every day, every moment of the day he is with us. In Jesus' name.